Lord. By your meager vessels, by your word, you have made us vessels in redemption. We ask that you prune us, wash us, you cleanse us to be clean and pure vessels. That your gift and your virtues and your giftings and your graces be not adulterated. We ask as we stand, with hearts anticipating, hoping, receiving, we trust, hearts full of faith by your word that you will do this through the work of your spirit. We ask tonight again that we will have revelation in your word, clarity that comes from your word, and an increased and strengthened walk of faith that comes by the same is ours tonight. As your word proceeds forth with a strong consciousness, the word proceeds forth with the power to do, with the strength of will, a convincing power to act on it. We ask tonight the questions in every heart is answered. We journey further in that precious, in that knowledge, our understanding of the precious gift of meetings which you have given to us, even as we all shall in camp meeting. We ask tonight, through to camp meeting and beyond, that the meetings this year will glorify your name. Your plans and purposes will be fulfilled. We ask tonight, the questions in every heart is answered. We'll be made better by your word. We have a stronger walk, a more fruitful walk, and a more fruitful understanding. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Hold your faith. Amen. Let's welcome 3, 4, 5 people. Minimum service tonight as we have a seat. Matthew's gospel is our text. Are we ready for the word? Right. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We're getting set for camp meeting. Well, I hope so, because it's been all quiet. Matthew 28:18. Looking at Christian meetings, I seek to conclude this evening or tomorrow. Sorry, Friday has been on my mind. Sunday. So he says, and Jesus came unto them, saying, Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye and make disciples, that's the word, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. So we have that instruction of Jesus to go make disciples. And here, I mean, contextually, he's what's talking to disciples. So in other words, go and do what I've been doing with you, or go and give what I've given to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have said also that by saying to go and make disciples, Jesus already implied what today we call Christian meetings. You know, by that simple directive, you know, by that simple instruction to go and make disciples. I'll talk about that sometime in the street at the conference. And then that word, you know, to go and make disciples, what we call the Great Commission. That is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. You know, so it means we are not without direction as much as what to do as a church. We have a God-given assignment. We have a God-given direction. We have God's direction. What to do. Hallelujah. There is what to do. There is what to do. So, if we, or when we gather together, the purpose of our gathering precedes the gathering. Right? Right? The purpose what? Precedes the gathering. We don't gather and now start thinking what we should do. We have been given what to do. That now instructs why we gather. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? So the purpose of Christian meetings precedes the meeting. The meeting is because of the work, of the purpose. We don't gather and then start looking for what to do. We don't gather and then start brainstorming. That means there shouldn't be a scenario where we are thinking of what else can we gather for? What else can we gather for? Are we together? You know, so let's have a program. Let's have a program. What can we gather for? You know, so I call, let's say I call our leaders, or let's say I just call Pastor Adeshewa. By the way, today is our birthday. Hope we all know. It is our birthday, all right, yeah.
See, yes, sir.
Oh, some of you are show workings, right? Where's cake? Show workings. Are we together? Today is your pastor's birthday. Are we together? So you know what that means. So if you run home, 1 minute out of service. Are we together? So look at that. Now, how do you honor your leader? On their birthdays, you don't say thank you with your words, right? You communicate a what? A gift, right? Which one will you prefer? Gift or thank you on your birthday? I'm prolonging my teaching already. Your answer. Abby? Have you not? Hi, today is your birthday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's take Snappy. Selfie. Rah. That is Snappy. I said Snappy. She knows what I'm talking about. Praise God. And that is selfish. No. The leader, are we together? You know, some people have the custom of only celebrating people after they had gone to be with the Lord. We don't do that. Are we together? The best time to celebrate people and to tell them what they were is right there when they are what? They are with you. Your parents, your loved ones, your siblings, your friends, your enemies too. Are we together? We don't have enemies. Amen. All right. So imagine I call a leader in church and I say, so what else can we do? What else can we do to make, you know, people to come together? No, it's not a valid question. Whatever we do in the church has a God-given assignment, purpose behind it. It is to go and make disciples. So everything we're doing must feed into that. Hallelujah. Disciples of the word, disciples of his resurrection. Amen. So quickly, we said in Matthew 18, where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, right? Gathered together. Then don't forget, on Sunday, we saw 1 Corinthians 14, 23 to 26, right? Verse 23 says, if therefore the whole church be gathered together in what? One place. So, we said, a place is not anywhere, right? Right? So, is online a place? Answer the question. Is online a place? Are you a gas? So, is online a place? No. Thank you. See, I'm not a gas. So there is the place of meeting. The place. Like we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 10. He says, when you get to, there is a place. So, you know, we say, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. But God does not bless people everywhere. God is everywhere, but God does not use everywhere for his place of manifestation. Are we together? He doesn't use the shrine, for example. Now, Paul says, he says, know you not that your what? Your gathering together, that is your body. The word body there means to come together. Know you not that your gathering together. Are we together? Notice, he didn't say your body. He said your body. And he wasn't talking to one person. He was talking to several hundreds of people. And he was addressing them together. So when he says your body, he wouldn't be talking about individual bodies. Is it clear? Your gathering, your coming together, know you not that it is the what? It is the place of God's activity. That's what temple. It is the temple of God. The temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. know you not that your body is the temple of God? Are we together? The temple of God. If I look at that context quickly, I'll take some minutes on it, then we'll move on. One more thought, and then we'll close. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me open it too. You have your Bible, open it. Oh, I forgot to say, I hope everybody is with their Bibles and their... If I complete this, I'll see it. 1 Corinthians 3. Are we there? All right. So, I want you to follow the context, okay? Verse 1. And I... A people or a person? Is there anybody called brethren? Brethren, that's your name. Can you raise your hand? Brethren. Okay, so brethren, can you raise your hands? Thank you. So brethren is a people, right? Thank you. So verse 1 again, your eyes in your Bible, please. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? But as unto, even as unto. So the you in verse 1, a person or a people? So you must not switch from a people to a person. Did you see that? If it starts with you as a people, maintain that what? Consciousness. You, and it's talking to a people. That means talking to all of them. Not one person. If he addresses an individual, it is because that individual is identified with what? With the community of people he's referring to. Do we agree? Is my English correct? Okay. Look at verse 2. I have fed you with. Will this be in their rooms or in the assembly? Answer the question. In their rooms or in the assembly? In the assembly. So I have fed you with me. The you there is a person or a people? A person or a people? Read on, not with me. For either two, you were not able to walk. Neither are you now what? Verse 3. For you are what? For you are what? You, a person or a people? So imagine, a whole church can be problematic. A whole church. That's a serious issue. An assembly. What do you call that in the... You call it infestation. Infestation. Agreed, right? Right? Infestation. All right. Now, look at something. Verse 3, everyone. Want to go? I want everybody reading. Want to go? For you are yet... For whereas there's what? Among. So when I say I'm among, am I talking to one person or a people? Okay. We have good English students here. Okay. I don't know why some people struggle with this. And they pass English. Alright. So it says, for there is among you. That's a people, right? Okay. What? Envy. That means envy is gathering with them. Wow. Strife is also in the meeting. Wow. Division is also attending church service with them. Wow. Are you not yet what? And walk as what? Men. Let's do the rest. Four together. Once to go. For why once yet I am... And another, so is he referring to a people or a person? Look at 5. Who is then Paul, and who is Apollos? Of is that by whom you believe, even as the Lord give to what? Every man. I have planted Apollos' water, but God gave what? 7, everyone. So then neither is he that planted anything, nor either watered, but God has given an increase. Now either planted and either watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own. For we are... You are. So God's beauty is one person or a people. God's beauty is one person or a people. A person is not a building. It's a people. You get it. Sure you get it. Read on. Verse 10, everyone. Verse 11, verse 12. Good. Now, notice something you must never lose. The one whose work is being tested here, is it part of the church? Is it? Okay, let me answer this way. The person in verse 13, now you have to look at verse 13 or you get what I'm saying. So the person in verse 13, is it Paul's audience or a non-audience of Paul? You see how you all failed. So I am building myself. Attention. So go back. Go back to verse 9. Once you go, we are. Now, when it says we are laborers, is that, does that include Paul's audience? Yeah. Who are the audience of Paul now? Is that the church? So when Paul says that we are laborers, does that include, is it referring to the church? Are we disputing the fact that there will be laborers also within the church? We are not disputing it. But according to the context, the discussion, we are God's what? Read that text, verse 9. We are what? We are laborers. Uh-huh. So Paul's audience is classified as who? Husbandry or laborers? So are they the subject or the object? Paul's audience is the subject or the object? They are the object, right? They are the one receiving. They are the one being built, right? They are the one being built. They are the one being built. They are the one being taken care of. So Paul is writing to them. And don't forget, Paul is saying that, some say I'm of Paul, some say I'm of what? Apollos. So in other words, Paul is treating it in such a way that, Paul is grouping himself alongside with some other ministers. He now called those ones builders, right? But the church, the audience is writing to, because Apollo is not in the audience. Is he? Cephas, is he in the audience? Cephas is Peter, by the way. Is he in the audience? It is the church at Corinth. His church at Corinth. Acts 18. Are we together? So, read verse 10. Want to go? Verse 10. Let what? Take it out what? He builded upon. Notice something. Notice that Paul separates the use of the word you from the use of the word every man. When he's talking to his audience, because I can't be addressing my audience and I say every man. Are we together? They are there. So I say you. But if I'm talking to somebody else, are we together, that has some sort of influence over you, like I do also, I can say every man. So let every man take it. I will build thereon. The every man is referring to other ministers like Paul. I will build thereon. What is the building? The church. Does that make any sense to you? Answer me. So let's read on. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be what? Okay. Read on. Good. So you know who every man is now. I know how he finds the church. Now look at verse 16. Know every man not. Is that what it is? Know every man not. Is that what it is? No. Know what? You. Not that what? You are the what? The building of God. The temple of God. Right? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth what? In you. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at this. If you read properly, you will agree with me that we can change that word dwelleth in you to dwelleth among you. Simple English. Are we together? Are we together? So, read verse 16 again. Know you not that you, is that a person or a people? So, is one person called temple? Do you see that? So, know you not that you, your gathering, this church, the assembly that I am writing to, are we together? Is the temple of what? Of God. And the Spirit of God dwells, tabernacles among what? Among you. Did you see that? Now in verse 17, it says, if any man defile the what? He has switched to any man again. Did you see that? So look at me, everybody. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at me. When it says, if any man defile the temple of God, if I am in that church, can the every man be me? Can the every man be me? No. So what is every man defiling the church? The minister. Are we together? Are we together? Not building the assembly according to God's plan. The every man here would not be the saint. Now look at me. Am I saying that a saint cannot, you know, depart? That's in another discourse. But in this text, the every man there is the minister. Are we together? So it says, if any man defile the temple, then it says, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is what? Holy. Which temple what? You are. So is that a people? Is that a people? So look at that. He says, you are the temple of God. A people. So Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Is that the temple? So the Christian meeting functions as a temple. Now, what is a temple? I told you the word naos in the Grecian community, when they hear the word naos, because now in those days the Grecian community were idol worshippers. Are we together? So they understood very well when Paul uses the word temple. Even though, let me say the category, Paul did not use the word temple because he was talking to the Greeks. He uses the word temple because he was talking from the Old Testament. So your understanding of a temple will not merely be from the culture of his audience, even though his audience can relate to that word. If you want to understand what Paul meant by temple, you need to go into the Old Testament. Are we together? So if you go into the Old Testament, you'll go see the Moses' temple. Are we together? And then you're going to Solomon's temple, and then you're also going to see the temple structure that preceded Solomon's temple, which is the tabernacle of Moses. You're going to see the tabernacle of Moses. If you study deeply, the tabernacle of Moses is going to take you into the Ark of Noah. Are we together? Before you get to the Ark of Noah, you're going back. So you would have reached Babel. You would have reached Babel. You would have gotten to Babel. Are we together? You would have seen the Tower of Babel, which I'm going to explain next week. I'm going to explain the Tower of Babel to us. So you're going to see the Tower of Babel. Are we together? That idol worshiping complex. You know, if you are reading your Bible and you are reading like a storybook, what's this yellow book we used to read? There's this yellow book we used to read. My book of Bible story, that book almost ruined our Christian work. It's fine though. Thank God for that. At least they kept us busy. We thank God. We are grateful, are we? We are grateful. So now, if you have read that book, it's that book that you see a green color serpent, you know, talking to the woman. How are you? It's nice to meet you. I'm glad to make your acquaintance. Can I have your phone number? And then he said that, I use Android, you use iPhone. I don't give my number to a stranger. Oh, by the way, you have beautiful eyes. I don't know if I can give your picture as deep. And then he was trying to woo the lady, the Eve, right? And then finally Eve just said, okay, just bring your phone. and then gave her number, and then God showed up. Who is this? Are we together? Praise God. So he started talking, and then he said, hey, I think there was an apple there, right? It was even this yellow apple that this other guy said now. So the snake brought an apple. But it's my thing. So if you had read that Bible, that book, if you had read that book, it will make you look, make it look as though the Tower of Babel was like, that's a cement structure, right? They now said they are going to build it, going to enter into heaven. The question is, where is heaven? Because the last time NASA went there, they just kept going. You think humans were dull to know that there is no substance up there? Are we together? They just keep building. They just keep. So they are just building. And then you now read. Now said, after a while, God now said, they are calling you. So God just, maybe God was sipping coffee. And then for 6 years, and they said, these people are close by. Oh. What's ETA? ETA is 1 year. They are going to eat this. Can't you see the roof? The roof is coming. These people are succeeding. Who is that guy? That's not someone guy that is building it. I don't think we should kill him. So God now said, no. It's not happening. I've woken up. I was not. Let us go. No. I think I remember someone said that God was saying that when they come, they will start shaking. I forgot that they prayed. That they wanted to climb to heaven and start shaking hands with God. So when they wake up in the morning, they say, God, our Father. No, that wasn't what they were doing. Praise God. The Tower of Babel was a supernatural beauty. A supernatural beauty. Yeah. We call it the Zugaraj. I'll explain the next thing. It is Zugaraj. In that world, the whole world was immersed in idol worship. So the whole world came together and said, rather than us being scattered about, let us build one structure where we can worship all of our gods. So they wanted to build one structure that will house all the supernatural beings, that will function as a temple for all the supernatural beings they were worshiping. So God says, the world will not unite in idol worship. Are we together? Are we together? So you get to Babel, and if you move past Babel, you are going to get to the Ark of Noah. So all of these occurrences in the Old Testament books were the temple building. So these were the texts that Paul was teaching from when he comes and says that your gathering together is the temple of God. So temple, two major things. Number one, the temple is a place of worship of a supernatural being. I've said it several times. It's a place of worship. Are we together? The place of worship. And secondly, the temple is also the place of activity or intervention. What we can call a place of manifestation. So there is worship. There is also what? Manifestation. Who does the worship? Man does the worship. So the supernatural being, right? Then the supernatural being manifests itself, are we together, to man. Did you see that? So man will worship the supernatural being. The supernatural being will also do what? Will manifest itself to man. And in that manifestation, you will have revelation and intervention. Put together. You have revelation. You know, some of these gods, sometimes they say, this is a god of fertility. God of fertility. Then they say, like you have in the Old Testament, the Philistine god, Ashtaroth, and a number of those gods, Dagon and all that. So they said, this is the god of fertility. So when they offer the sacrifices to Ashtaroth, then Ashtaroth will manifest itself and then bring forth intervention. Because usually, man goes after those supernatural beings for supernatural intervention. Sometimes intervention could be to win a war. Sometimes intervention could be they need water. Are we together? Rainfall. Sometimes intervention could be their cattle or their animals or their plants producing, right? And many others. So the temple will function as the place of worship. The place of worship. Are we together? The place of worship. And then the temple will also serve as the ground of manifestation. And when there is manifestation, through the manifestation, you are going to have what? Revelation and what? And what? Intervention. Revelation and what? Intervention. So, look at it. Look at it, everyone. Look at it, everyone. Look at it, everyone. Revelation and intervention is a response to worship. Is a response to worship. Revelation and intervention is a response of a supernatural being to worship. And God is no different. It's a response to worship. When we worship, now, you don't call something worship if it is not that you are following instruction. It is not worship until the one who instructs is satisfied. Are we together? Are we together? If you give instruction and you do just anything, you'll get knocked on the head. It's worship. Worship is that you carry out the instruction as it was said. So Moses was instructed, Noah was instructed, Abraham was instructed, Isaac was instructed. Are we together? Aaron was instructed. Amen. David was instructed. Then Solomon followed the instructions. Jesus gave instructions. The apostles were instructed. We are also instructed. So when I'm following the instructions of a supernatural being, I'm worshiping him. So when I worship, there is a manifestation. That manifestation will birth what? Revelation. And coming alongside the revelation will be what? A supernatural what? Intervention. Is it clear? Is it clear? A supernatural intervention. And God is not different. He is not different. So that is why the writer of the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 12 now began to talk about the manifestation of the Spirit in the temple. The manifestation of the Spirit in the temple. Where is the temple? The temple will be when the whole church, chapter 14, verse 23, they gather together into one place. Are we together? Into one place. He says, and all speak with tongues. That's an activity of worship. And all speak with tongues. That's an activity of worship. Then he says in 26, if therefore the whole church become together where? Verse 23, in one place. And every one of you act. Those are manifestations. He says Psalms. He says doctrine. He says revelation. Those are manifestations. Are we together? Manifestation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, for the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to every man to profit with all. Then it says, to one is given the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. It says, by the same Spirit. Then he mentioned the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And we said, in the 9 gifts of the Spirit, we have revelatory gifts, we have utterance gifts, we have power gifts. So the activity of worship will lead to revelation and then intervention. Are we together? What is intervention? The gifts of healing. Healing the sick. That's intervention. So when someone comes into the meeting, Paul is saying the gifts of the Spirit is available in the meeting to heal the sick. The gifts of faith. The gifts of healing. Are we together? What are the gifts of faith does? And the workings of miracles also. 3 gifts of the Spirit. The workings of miracles. The workings of miracles is how we cast out devils. The workings of miracles is how we cast out devils. Now, if the presence of a demon in the fellow had made things to go bad in the body or in the soul and in the mind, the gifts of healing brings the person back into normalcy. The gifts of healing. Then you have the gift of faith also. The gift of faith. Are we together? Then you also have the revelatory gift, word of knowledge. Revelation. Revelation. Word of knowledge. Then you have word of wisdom, which is also revelation. Revelatory in its function. Then you also have the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits is also a revelatory gift that works in the assembly when we come together. Are we together? So when God says meet in a place, it is because it is that place that you will see his activity. Don't be stupid and say, I can live stream. Live stream kill you there. I said it on Sunday.
that the churches that live stream their meetings.
Are we together? Are we together?
There's a need for caution. There's a need for caution. Some people live stream their meetings because they want to reach more people so that you know, more people can know them. No. No. Nothing wrong with live streaming, but the motive is important. The purpose is important. Like I said, on Sunday morning, if everybody should go to church, why are you live streaming your service? Why are you live streaming your service if everybody should go to church? There is no serious ministry that is an advocate of building strong local churches that will live stream live services on Sunday morning anyhow. Except there's a reason why. And I said, live stream therefore has to be outreach. That means the persons we expect to be seeing it are unbelievers, not a Christian who should be in the church on Sunday morning. Then you could live stream later in the day for folks in the hospital, for this and that, it's fine. Or you can live stream a special meeting. A special meeting. We're having a healing service. There are some people who are not in places where they can even get to us, and then we trust God's power. Are we together? And we can minister to them there. But you see, you can't be discipled through that channel. You can't be. It means you're not serious. Gloria Copeland said, the U.S. military are not trained remotely. Like I told you on Sunday, imagine you have somebody who needs a medical procedure. Then the fellow goes to the hospital, and then you ask the doctor, you know, he says, so this is the person. The person has a procedure, maybe a 12-hour procedure. I mean, you bring a craniopagus to me, and that's conjoint things. The heads are joined together. And then he said, the doctor should, some of those surgeries are about 70-hour surgery. 70-hour stretch. And then he said, the doctor said, I can do it. All right, who is the surgeon? He said, you have to have some sessions before they give you, the day for the surgery. And then you sit down with the surgeon, and the surgeon says, wow, can I see the patient? Oh, wow, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. Why are you saying that, sir? Well, I think, and it's simple. I've watched a lot of these scenarios. Yeah, have you ever done it before? No, I've only watched it on YouTube. What? I've watched it a lot on YouTube. Which medical school did you go to? No. I studied. I don't mention any course. I was together. I studied carpentry, you know. Where? University of Joseph. I mean, Joseph and Sons Carpentry Solutions. That is, I was there. For how long? I've been there. I've been working there for like 20 years. Oh, so you can do this surgery? Yeah, I can. You know, and we have God's help, right? Which God's help? Although I come up with it. We're together. So you are not going to entrust a health condition to somebody who has merely watched it online. No matter how long he has watched it online. Or you have a flight and then you heard that the pilot has, for the last 3 days, he has been watching flights on TV. He has watched videos on how they fly a plane, but he has never flown one. Never been to the training. Have you fly at all? Not even when you were alone there. No. Even those guys that fly planes, they will first of all, they will test one is where. Right? I just don't know those things online. You will fly it yourself. You fly it. Sometimes you fly around the vicinities of the airport. They have aviation school. So you fly. Before you now start flying with somebody. Then you now start flying with a group. Then you now start flying. Before you now say, okay, a commercial flight. Then you start flying the commercial one. And that commercial one, you fly in a jet. A small one. Before you now say, oh, you are flying a passenger craft. A passenger craft. And that's some of those. If you take flight jobs, the pilots, some of them are, they have white hair, they are agents. They have been in the whatever. So you can't say, I have a flight. You say, I'm in a hurry. Let anybody just fly me. Out. Have you flown to heaven before? Just fly to heaven. Just write, they put a banner out there. He flew. He flew away. Praise God. I said, praise God. So you will not do that. Amen. Even in basic things today, basic things that people do for you, carpentry works and all of that, you want to find out, you know, if we invite someone else to work on the church ACs, we are not just saying, we want to certify that the person can, don't go and spoil the thing for us and be very sorry, but you are a church. We know we are a church. Go to prison. Go! 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 Is there a body? This is supposed to be a church. What? This is supposed to be a church. People divide. Carry this guy. Is there a body? This is supposed to be a church. That's why it's a church. That's why it's a church. Carry him! The guy is saying to them, yeah. Are we together? You know, they say, but you're a pastor. I'm a pastor. Does it look like my age? It belongs to the whole church. What do I explain to people? So I saw someone on Facebook. He ran an ad. I just liked his face, and he had a cross on his chest. Are we together? So you use professional people. So the same thing, there is order. So the orderliness of God's work and God's activities is that it is a meeting that it transforms people's lives. Christian meetings. Glory to God forevermore. So it says, where two or three are gathered together, there in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we said, why you can say God is everywhere, God is everywhere. God is everywhere, yes, in the sense of his omnipresence, but everywhere is not his temple. And it is in his temple that you will receive his revelation. Are we together? Are we together? And then you receive what? Or it's in his temple that you have manifestation. It's manifestation. Are we together? It's manifestation. Someone say, can't I worship God anywhere? Can't I worship God anywhere? Look at what it says. Where two or three are gathered. That means, while you can have activities of worship in various places, sometimes in your room, you can have activities of worship, are we together? Alone. And you're ministering to the Lord, or you're praying, which is an act of worship. Is the Lord there? Yes. But look at this. There is a manifestation that relies upon two or three being gathered. And you cannot have that manifestation when you are alone. You cannot. Did you see that? Look at me. What did it cause Jesus to just lay hands on Paul and get him to the Holy Ghost? Are we together? I mean, at that moment, Paul had believed on the road to Damascus. When Jesus showed up, he had a bright light fell upon him and he fell to the floor. He had believed at that moment. What stopped Jesus from stepping out of the line and saying, I know you have been proud, but I'm merciful. Come here, bring your head. I didn't say your chin, you see, you're not used to it. You're bringing your chin. Your head! Your particular people that are bringing their head, you're not saying. Bring your head! Your forehead, of course! Your shoulder. I will call the shoulder. Bring your head! And then Saul just brings his head and then he says, I'm merciful, okay? It's because I'm merciful, okay? And I killed you. And I killed you. And then Saul says, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Saul even said, who are thou, Lord? He said, who are me? Nonsense question. It's because you are not trained. I'm not intelligent in things of spirit. You saw my glory. He said, who are you? It's Wura. Jesus didn't say that. What did he cause Jesus from putting his hands on Saul? And then some just said, and he said, so you have Saul today. How did he get free? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ got me free. The Lord Jesus Christ got me a few. He didn't call Jesus anything. Are we together? He says, go to somebody's house. Notice this. Look at me. The person whose house, are we together? He went to. Now, or he's just instructed that. But the person whose house he went to was not the person who ministered to him. So, for him to just receive the gift of God, you already have three people gathered. It wasn't the person that ministered to him that he went to his house. Jesus now, by word of knowledge, now spoke with Ananias. He says, go to so and so person's house.
Are we together?
And then he says, there is a man there, Saul of Tarsus. He said, he has seen you come to me, to him. He says, he gave him instructions. He says, because he prayed. So Jesus had to go to, what's his name? Ananias. To go to the house of that Simon. Are we together? The tanner. And then he says, there is a Saul in his house. Three people. He meets him. Then Simon now comes. He now lays hands on Paul. Scales, as it were, now fell from his eyes. He now spoke with him. Because he says, the Lord Jesus has sent me that I may minister to you, that your eyes, that you may receive your sight, and that you may be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, full of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts is the way they describe speak with tongues. Go and check throughout. I just checked throughout tonight. Full of the Holy Ghost is tongues in the book of Acts. Are we together? Are we together? So, he took Ananias to get Paul filled with the Holy Ghost in the house of someone else. That's a meeting. So, Paul couldn't speak with tongues alone. Are we together? It was being tongues alone. It was being tongues alone. That's a meeting. It didn't cost God anything. It didn't cost Jesus anything. What about, what's his name now? Cornelius. See, that occurrence in the book of Acts is too plenty for you to miss it. It's too plenty for you to miss it. Look at Cornelius again. Who was a centurion, right? Now, a centurion from the word century. That means he was in charge of at least 100 soldiers. That's a centurion. Now, he would go about his daily worship activities. Then an angel appeared to him and told him to send a man and describe Peter's house. What did he cause the angel to just tell him what Peter would come and say? So, did he speak with tongues later? Cornelius? Did he speak with tongues? You can read all of Acts 10. He spoke with tongues, right? What, did he get born again and spoke with tongues? He now took what? A meeting. For there to be what? Manifestation. Manifestation that led to intervention and what? Revelation. Meeting. Meeting. Did you see that? Meeting. Meeting. Acts 1. After Jesus was taken from their side. Okay, before he was taken from their side, notice that, look at everybody, the great commission that the whole world is practicing today was handed over in a meeting. Why did Jesus just tell them privately? That's why the book of Acts is a book of meetings. Christian meetings. So Acts 1 was a meeting. By the time they left Galilee, they went to Jerusalem and continued in prayer and supplication in the what? In the temple, right? Continued in prayer and supplication in the temple. That means they left a meeting for another meeting. Acts 1. And they were in that Acts 1 meeting for 10 days. I showed us on Sunday. By Acts 2, it was in a meeting that the day of Pentecost took place. I told you that what happened on the day of Pentecost was meeting defined. Was meeting defined. Was meeting inspired. Meeting. Acts 2 was a meeting. It was as a result of the meeting that 3,000 people got saved. What happened in the meeting led to saving of souls. Meeting. Definitely, there's no word I need to tell you that Acts chapter 2 was a special meeting. The day of the Pentecost, utterances and revelation was bettered. Are we together? In a special meeting. So there are special things that happen in special meetings. Special things. Special giftings are received. Special ministries are bettered. Special graces are administered. Special meetings. Acts 3 again was a meeting. They were going for a meeting, the hour of prayer. And they saw the guy, the God beautiful, asking for hands. Peter said, look on us. It wasn't one person. Look on us. Are we together? He says, silver and gold I have none, but so that I have, give unto you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Are we together? He says, rise up and walk. They grabbed him, pulled him up, the man leaping, and then walked. The people gathered. Then they preached to them. 5,000 were saved. Meeting. By Acts 4, when they received, when they received persecution, opposition by the elders. You see that right from verse 12. By the time we read it to 18:20, they were in the prayer meeting. And they prayed. The Bible said the whole place was shaking together. And the apostles ministered the gospel with great grace, signs and wonders. They prayed for courage and boldness to preach the word. And that signs and wonders may be done through the hands of the apostles. And that happened. Acts 4, meeting. Acts 5 was meeting. Meeting in Acts 5. Acts 6 from verse 1 was a meeting. In those days, number of disciples were multiplied, and there arose a murmuring among the Grecians that their women, were not properly taking care of and the daily ministration. Then the assembly gathered together, and Peter got up and addressed them with the 12. Addressed them. He says, men and brethren, he says, look here among you, this and this. And then he said, we'll not leave all of God at table, but look here among you, seven men of honest report. Meetings. By the time we're done, he says, and the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. Meetings. Acts 6. Are we together? In Acts chapter 7, it was in a meeting that Stephen preached the gospel. Acts 7. In Acts 8, there were meetings at Samaria. By verse 5, it says the whole city gathered together. Philip, having gone to Samaria, preached the gospel to them. It says many unclean spirits, it says, hearing his word, hearing his preaching, came out of the people. Meetings. Then later on, are we together? In Acts chapter 9, meetings again. Paul met Ananias, in the house of one Simon. He was meeting in Acts 9. Immediately by that Acts 9, Paul had started joining their meeting and preaching the gospel. By Acts 10, it was a meeting. Acts 11 was a meeting. Are we together? A meeting. They brought Peter in, and then Peter had to explain to them that the gospel has crossed. Are we together? Crossed that, cultural barrier into the community of the Gentiles. Acts 11. In that Acts 11, verse 26, now says, the disciples were called Christians for the first time because they gathered much people and taught. Meetings. Acts 12 was meetings. By that time, they had picked what's his name and James and killed, and they put Peter in prison. The whole church gathered in the house of what's her name now? What's the house of her name? What's her name? Yeah. Rhoda, thank you. And then they gathered in her name, and then they were praying. And then the prayer got Peter released by the hand of an angel. Acts 12. Acts 13, verse 1 and 2 was a meeting. Acts 14 was a meeting. Are we together? In Acts 15, when they had dissensions across boards, the Jewish Christians, saying that some cannot be born again except they are circumcised. Some say that no, even after they are born again, they now have to be circumcised. They gathered together, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, rather, they went up to Jerusalem. They had meetings. And then letters were wrote back to follow them into Cilicia and what's it called now? Antioch, with meetings again. Acts 16, meetings. It was in those meetings that Paul now met, what's his name now? Timothy. Timothy. Then he went into Macedonia, preached the gospel. Meetings in Acts 16. Acts 17, they had meetings at Berea. The meeting in Acts 9, Acts 18 was what led to the church at Corinth. The meeting in Acts 19 was what led to the church at Ephesus. Acts 20, meetings. He called the elders again and he ministered to them and instructed more meetings in verse 28 to 32. Or 32. Are we together? Of Acts 20. Acts 21, meetings. Acts 22, they went back to follow up all of those churches. 23, 24, they were meetings. By Acts 28, again, Paul announced arrest, kept on having meetings. In Acts 28, from verse 18 to 20, they were having meetings. So the entire book of Acts was built on meetings. And now I told you that the book of Acts was the second letter to the book of Luke. That was why, what's his name? Luke started that letter by saying, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, referring to the book of Luke. He's starting the book of Acts, and he says the former letter of I write of what Jesus began. That means this book is to show a continuity of what the other one began. He called the entire book of Luke what Jesus began. So the book of Acts was the continuity of the book of Luke. That is whatsoever Jesus did with the apostles in the book of Luke, we are now seeing the fruit of it in Acts. If the book of Luke is a synoptic account to bed salvation, are we together? That means the book of Acts, meetings, is a fruit of salvation. Meetings.
I've not even seen my notes.
Are we together? Meetings is the fruit of what? Salvation. One of the hallmarks that a man is genuinely born again is that that man is found in the assembly. Glory to God forevermore. Is it clear? One of the signs that you are born again is that you are found where? In the assembly. You are found in the assembly. Because God is present where? In the assembly. In the assembly. God is in the assembly. It says the shout of the king is among these people. In the Old Testament books. In the Old Testament books. Yahweh is found. You know, one of the things Israel did is that they had that banner. Israel had that Israel had a saying. A saying is not the word I wanted to use. You know, like an emblem. Are we together? You know, like an emblem. It says the Lord our banner. Which means he's amongst us. He's amongst us. So, and that place of gathering becomes the ground for his what? Manifestation. And manifestation will birth what? Will birth what? Revelation. And what? Intervention. So, the people of God is the place of worship amongst the people of God. You can put it in your note that way. Among the people of God is the place of worship. Amen. Among the people of God is the place of what? God's worship. Are we together? And when God is worshipped, what do we have? What do we have? Manifestation. And then we'll also have what? The manifestation will lead to a revelation and what? An intervention. Are we together, church? The manifestation will lead to what? Revelation. And what? An intervention. Praise God. So why does God work like that in meetings? Let's look at something very basic, which was something we have built earlier on. But let's look at it again. But look at something. In Luke 24, verse 49 and 50. Everyone. Luke 24, 49 and 50. So does God work with places? Answer the question. Does God work with places? Let me ask it this way. Let me ask it this way. Is there geography in theology? Is there geography in theology? There is. Is there geography to God's activity? Answer the question. Is there geography to God's activity? There is. Is there geography to God's activity? What text are you? Now hold your hand there. I will show you something. I don't know why I'm not talking from my notes tonight, but it's fine.
Look at Genesis. I think that should be 28. Genesis 28. Now, I want us to read. We will just read. I will not stop us and talk. So I need you to pay attention. Now look at verse 1. Read from verse 1. Read to verse, from verse 1 to verse 10. So I want you to read loudly and clearly, okay? But read slow enough for you to understand what you are reading. Are we there? And let someone who is by you hear your voice. So, want to go? Read on. Read on. And went toward what? Aram. Do you understand what you are reading? If you understand, say amen. Amen. Now read verse 11. Verse 12. Read on. Read on. So wait, did he have an encounter with God? Did he have an encounter with God? Now read next verse. Read the next verse. Okay, good. Read on. So, is he referring to a place? Okay. So, look at the next thing. Read on. Read on. Okay. So you observe what happened there. Who called the place Bethel? Jacob. And why did he call the place Bethel? Now, definitely, that word Bethel is an Hebrew word. It's two words. It's two words. Bethel. The word El is, do we call it a, that's not a prefix now. That's, is that a suffix? Right. The word El is a suffix that is used many times for God in the Old Testament. Are we together? You see words like Michael. Are we together? which has that of God in it. Then you have Raphael. Are we together? Then you have that word El Shaddai. Are we together? El Shaddai. So when you see the word El, that suffix El, apostrophe, then El, you know, is synonymous to how God was addressed. So you now have the word Bayit, which is used for household. So you have the word Bayit of El. Now, off is English, okay? So you don't have Bayit El. So when you have Bayit El, that's Bethel. So Bayit and El. And Bayit is used for house. So Bethel is another word for the house of God. Are we together? So it describes that location. It describes that location. It describes it as the house of God. Are we together? Are we together? He described it as the house of God. That location. Now, if you look at Genesis 48, Genesis 48, are we together? I've not actually found the text I'm looking for, which is where the word Bethel occurs again. But Genesis 48, I think it's in verse 15. He says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed you all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed thee from evil, bless the Lord." That is not the text that I am looking for. I am looking for a text. I'm coming. Verse what? Verse 3. Okay. Let me see. Verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick." Alright. Verse 2. "And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Jacob." Then verse 3. Good. So look at verse 3. Thank you. Thank you. It says, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at what? At Luz, in the land of what? Canaan, and blessed me." Now that's the same place he called Bethel. Okay? Now it says in verse 4, "I said, Behold, I will make this fruitful." This is also not the text I'm looking for. 35. Okay? Thank you. I know we have taught it severally, but the text is keeping me. Genesis 35, or is it me that is keeping the text? One is keeping the other. Genesis 35. Now, let's see verse 1. Verse, what are you referring to? Now, in verse 1, it says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go toward Bethel and dwell there, and make thee an altar, and appear unto me, then thou blessed altar that appeared unto thee. Go to Bethel and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest." Okay? Verse 2. Verse, what are you referring to? Verse 3 says, "And let us arise and go." Then verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. No, that's not the text. Verse 6 is not the text. I'm coming. They gave unto Jacob. No. Verse 15. No. Verse 15 is simply repeating now, right? Verse 15 is repeating. There's a text where God said to what's his name? He said, "I am the God of Bethel." I showed you that text before, but I don't have it. Verse what? 7. Verse chapter 35, right? So, no. That is in verse 7. No, it's not verse 7. It's not verse 7. Deborah, no, it's not verse 7. I've thought about that text before, but I don't have it now. I don't have it in my head. So you can look for that text later on. But the statement says God is the one. I think God, it was to Jacob. I might be wrong, but check it out. But it was the same Jacob. It was the same Jacob. I think I'm right on that. It was the same Jacob. God appeared to Jacob and said, "I am the God of Bethel." Now, he was the one who called the place Bethel, not God. We saw that. He was the one who called, the place was called Luz. So he was the one who called it Bethel. And then God now comes later and says, "I am the God of that place." Are we together?
to show you that God keeps locations in mind and He works with it. Are we together? God works with locations. If you read the Old Testament books, you see that God works with locations. I can't hear you. 31 verse 30. Look. 31 verse 13. Look at that text, everyone. 31 verse 13. Quickly. Is that what you have there? Okay, so let's read verse 13. Thank you. Thank you. Let's read verse 13. Read the previous text. Locate who the audience is. I don't hear you. The angel of the Lord did what? Okay. So it says, I am the God of what? Bethel. Where thou what? Anointed what? The pillar. And you vow unto me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return unto the land of thy what? Of thy kindred. Are we together? Now obviously, when he says, I am the God of Bethel, and he says, you made a vow unto me. Pay attention. God was reminding him of the encounter at Bethel. Are we together? What was the encounter? If you permit me to use that word. What was the instruction, the word at Bethel? The word at Bethel is that God repeated his word to Abraham, to Jacob, by saying that your seed shall be like the sand of the seashore. That word, that blessing of all your children shall be in all the earth, you know, I will make thy seed, you know, as plenty as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore. God revisited Jacob. I can use the word revisit. God revisited Jacob with the promise he gave to Abraham at Bethel. That means God is reaffirming his presence and his mission on the earth with Jacob. And he's telling Jacob that what I started with your father Abraham, are we together? I am continuing the work with you. So upon that visitation at Bethel, Jacob was going to bear in mind that God was with him to fulfill his word to Abraham, his father. Are we together? So if God comes back and he says, I am the God of Bethel, and that you made a vow to me, God is telling Jacob to remember his promise to him. So he says, get up and go. Go to thy kindred. Get up and go. So God is reminding Jacob of his promise to Jacob, and consequently Jacob's role in his work. You can call it the call to the ministry and devotion to the call. Are we together? That is what God reminds him. So, and in reminding him of the call to the ministry and the devotion, God pointed him to the location. So it means that locations, are we together, are attached to God's work. Let me say it this way. God is a God of places. He's a God of places. He works with places. In working with places, because when it comes to working with places, look at this. The work, I need to pay attention because of the way I would say it. Pay attention. The work he has called us to do, are we together? When he meets with us, when he meets with us, I have a meeting, like Jacob had an encounter with God, and God visits him with a promise, what we call the call to the ministry. Look at what God does. God, in getting Jacob to continue in his plans and purposes, reminds him of the place where. Are we together? So part of our work with God is that God will do a work in a place in location. And throughout our lives, he will be reminding us of that location. Because the remembrance of that location causes something in us. It causes us to continue in his work. So he includes locations in his work. I will explain this more detailedly later on. But I'll say this way tonight. So God, in his work with us, or in our work with him, attaches monumental events. God attaches moments of encounters to places. And part of the reason, that's not the only reason, but part of the reason why he does that is because the remembrance of those places will cause us to continue. They will cause us to remember what he said. Thus, remembering what he does. And it will cause us to also remember his promises and get us moving. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, God does tangible things in places. And many times, what he does is that he instructs you on the place. Like the Luke text I asked us to see, we can't see that again tonight because time is gone. I can build around on Sunday. The Luke text I asked us to see, he says, tarry ye at Jerusalem. Later on in the book of Acts, when they now mention Jerusalem, they kept on referring to the day of Pentecost. And many times when they refer to the day of Pentecost, it was to show themselves. For example, in Acts 11, when they refer to the day of Pentecost, it was Peter convincing the assembly of the elders that he was justified going to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. So the day of Pentecost at Jerusalem became a reference point for people to see what God does and continue in it. And continue in it. It wasn't only that. It wasn't only that. Look at another special thing that happened at the baptism of John that we saw on Sunday. The apostles now said, nobody should join us in championing the cause of the gospel if the blessing was not in that location. Where is the location? Baptism of John. If you have watched the baptism of John on live stream, you will still not join them. You will not join them. Because tantamount to watching on live stream was, look at this. Luke, did Luke get the report? Answer me. Did Luke get the report of the day of the baptism of Jesus? Did Luke record it well? In fact, Luke actually said, I am reporting it diligently in Luke 1. If you read Luke 1, verse 1 to 3, he says, I am reporting it very diligently. So look at the records. It's like the audio was given to him, or the video was given to him, if they are recorded. But that was not enough. It is not about knowing what happened. It is about what? Being there. So they said, of all these ones that have complete with us, going in and out, right from the word, the baptism of John, till the time. That means, look at this. If Paul was among them, will Paul join them? No. Paul will not join them. Because he says, till the time he was what? He was taken up. Are we together? Are we together? Who will join him? Why? Because Paul received the account also. Paul received the account also. So if Paul were to be in that meeting in Acts 1, he would still not join them. He said, those who were there from that time of the baptism of John till the moment he was what? He was taken. He says, those ones will pick one of them And look at it. After they had done that, they now did what? They now casted lots. What does it mean to cast lots? To vote. More people now voted for. That means even with those two requirements, maybe the other one missed one meeting. Maybe it was involvement and participation. Maybe it was in all, but it's involvement and participation. They now casted vote. The vote now fell on one. That means that one was still more qualified. He was still more present. So God works with your physical presence in it. Be there. Be in the service. Be in the service. I close here. Beware. Be in the special meeting. Be there. The life-changing moments are within the sessions of the meetings. Prayer meetings, be there. Teaching meetings, be there. Cell meetings. Believers meetings. Healing services, be there. Someone said, can't the thing of God get to me wherever I am? See, don't be asking such questions. We all know it can, but the question is that God's plan? And why work with what can happen rather than how something should happen? Be there. Okay, how can we lay hands on you, live stream? Did you see that? How do you receive the laying on of hands on live stream? Now, if that's your consciousness, can't the things of God get to me? Can you see yourself? So look at me. Can't the things of God get to me is an argument of immature Christians. Why? Because the mature Christian knows to be present, so he himself can minister. So the question of can't it get to me is not the question is why don't you be there so that you can what? Minister. 1 Corinthians 14. You have to be there to minister. Did you see that? So why is your attention on what you should get rather than what is in you that will bless the assembly and by being there to give? And look at this. When we give in Christian meetings, the things of the Spirit, it becomes heightened in our lives. So when you hear questions like, can't I get it on live stream? Can't I do this? Can't I do that? You can get it on live stream, though you can't get all. Pray for me, I close. You can never get all that somebody who is on ground is getting online. You can't. It's like saying that I can't be in service. I will listen to the recording. Hey, but that's all you get. What do you get in recording? Look at this. In recordings, you get information. You don't get the spirit. You don't get it. You get the information. But the things of the spirit is more than information. More than information. They are giftings and graces of God that are given tangibly in person. In person. Sometimes just by sitting and watching the minister, things will rub off on you. It is when you are present that you hold hands to pray, then things flow. It flows. The ministry of the Spirit flows. So don't watch the move of the Spirit. Be in the move of the Spirit. Be in it. Don't watch the move of the Spirit. Don't listen to the move of the Spirit. Don't listen to the move of the Spirit. And then someone said that, what about elders and men that were outside the camp? He didn't say they were outside the city. He didn't say they were outside the city. He said they were outside the camp, the tent. So today is tantamount to our security that is watching over items and valuables at the park. Are we together? And don't forget that Eldad and Medad were also there what? Together in meeting. Don't be stupid. They were there together. Then Eldad and Medad were outside, and then the Spirit of God came up. Go and check it well. You, this disobedient Christian. Check it well. It was a kind of gathering that you can call one accord. It's tantamount to our ushering, standing there to ensure order in the meeting. And they are part of the meeting. Whatever they are doing on that spot is for the meeting, with the meeting. They are amongst us. We are all together. That is not the same as watching online. No. No. You can't use the other than methods for your disobedience. Check through the book of Acts. Those who get blessed were those who were there. What if one person had said before the day of Pentecost, I have a wedding. Legitimate things. Oh, I have a business, whatever to attend to. Legitimate things. But you will not have received what was given on the day of Pentecost. You were not there. See, I'll be there. So meetings are not only available, they are necessary. It is a necessity to gather with other believers. When prayer is on, to pray. When the church is meeting to teach God's word, be there to receive the word. Believers' meetings to give and receive of the things of the Spirit of God. Evangelistic meetings and evangelism. To be there to win souls together. Be there. Cultivate the habit of always being there. Are we together, church? So as we prepare our minds and our hearts for camp meeting, let's resolve in our hearts that the meeting is available and being there is actually a necessity. Like I said, there with your loved ones. Be there with men and women who want their lives to change. Be there with them. Be there with your siblings if you have. Be there with your parents if you have a kind. Be there with your loved ones, friends and colleagues. Far or near, distant, relatives, near. Be there. And more importantly, be there yourself. Just advertise the meeting, put it on your status, your walls, on your social media. I'll talk to people about it. Being present, the presence throughout the sessions. Part of being present is to ward away distractions. Sometimes some people can be present and they are not present. So the presence then is your heart, your body, your mind, being in the meeting. Of course, to receive, but also to give. As the Spirit will lead us to minister, moments when we are ministering. To also receive, to watch out for moments where, you know, the things to catch is moving by you, moving across, going forth, you lay hold on them. I will trust God that we'll have, as we have said, a meeting betting more meetings. Every prayer session at camp meeting will bet more prayer meetings. Every teaching session at camp meeting will birth more teaching meetings. The songs ministries will birth more songs ministries. Everything in camp meeting will bring forth fruits. The exhortations will birth more moments of teachings, exhortations and counsel and wisdom, laying on of hands, prophecies, the ministry of the gifts in the Spirit will be mighty, will be in excess, will be in abundance. Will birth more and a stronger and a more robust charismatic ministry. Even within and outside our church meetings, we receive more ministers being birthed, ministries birthed, more ministers being raised and trained and taught,
to repeat the same with and through the life of others. More meetings in and outside the city, more cells, stronger ones available within the city and outside the city, more walks, more campuses being immersed in the river of God's word and spirit. We receive this and more. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Just bow your heads and pray in other tongues. Pray what is laid on your heart towards camp meeting. Yes, as you prepare. Spirit of God, help us to prepare more, to prepare accurately. I'll not be found wanting. In preparation, I'll not be found wanting. In attendance, I'll not be found wanting. In participation, I will prepare. I will participate. I will attend. Amen.